Welcome to Homegrown Podcast, the final episode. It has been quite the adventure. My name is Luke.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Gina.
And I'm Maddie.
And like I just said, this is our final episode. This podcast has accompanied our magazine, which is going to be released soon. We'll tell you more about it in a second. But we have an exciting episode ahead of us today. Let's start with some local food in the news.
Yeah. So, Luke, you were talking about there's this new microgreen. There was a story about a microgreen business in the city.
Yeah. The Winnipeg Free Press actually just profiled this guy. Mm-hmm. He has this. So the microgreen business has been getting bigger, and it's evident with him because it's not so micro anymore. He's been doing it out of his basement. It might be he rented out a basement at a place, but business has been booming because he's been selling to mostly Winnipeg chefs. So they're moving out of this dingy basement in May and into a 1,700 square foot building. And wow. They said like already they know they're going to have to upgrade soon after that.
Really?
Yeah. So what? Microgreens it's getting more popular in Manitoba, I guess. This guy's logic, he said he used to do more rural farming, but then it was just so, like, when it's good, but when it's bad, it's bad. Mm-hmm. So now this microgreens is the safer option for him, I guess. It's indoors, completely indoors. He's just got the lights, it must use up a lot of power, though, all the lights on these, like, Swiss chard, sunflowers, wheatgrass, those kind of things. But yeah, through this Winnipeg climate, I guess that's the way to go. And now it's booming.
And he sells these seeds or greens to chefs?
Yeah. There must be quite a few. His business is called Fresh Forage?
Yeah, Fresh Forage. That's what it was.
I could see that. I could see that booming because I see like so many times on like Instagram and like cooking pages, microgreens are like being used in like recipes and smoothies and salads. I can definitely see how it's like quite the trend right now.
Yeah, and with that 28-day indoor garden challenge that Sage Garden was doing, just because it only takes 21 to 28 days to actually grow microgreens, so
mm-hmm.
Why not?
Have you guys ever tried? Luke, have you ever tried growing microgreens?
I haven't, but my mom has. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember exactly what it was that she was growing, but she would send me outside to cut greens that I would use in my sandwiches. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
that's awesome. Okay, weird question. Is chia pets, is that a microgreen?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Because, like, those don't take a long time to grow either.
Yeah, I want to say yes.
I think they are, because, when they grow and Garfield has hair, that's
right, yeah.
A microgreen.
Those microgreens. I want to say yes, they are, but I also know very little about microgreens.
We're no expert.
Chia pets.
Yes.
Microgreens are also considered, like, remember those those lights Maddie was talking about?
The hydro light little things?
Yeah, are those microgreens?
Hydroponics?
I think those are just hydroponics.
Which is microgreens.
Never mind, then it is microgreens.
Yeah, isn't hydroponics confused? Like the way you grow them, like the system that's set up? Yeah.
So like those little lights that you were talking about, like mm-hmm. those little machine things?
Yeah.
Cool.
You could grow your own microgreens with those, yeah.
Yeah. When I was in BC, my boyfriend's family friend has those little machines, and like she was growing three little, they look like little sprouts, like those emojis, like the emoji. It just looked like that, exactly.
Oh, really?
Like that. Yeah. I stayed at her house when I was there, and I was sleeping on the couch, and like she could never turn off the light for the machine.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's so bright, and
really?
it's so annoying. But like, yeah, they just look like the little emojis, and like they come in like you know those K cups for Keurigs mm-hmm. and stuff. It just looks exactly like that in the little machine and like the little pods, and then like the light above them, 24/7.
I feel like they could be easily mistaken for a grow up.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
The lights are always on. You walk past that place at night, you're like, oh gosh.
But it's like a really small machine. Like
they're really small.
The size of like an egg carton.
The pods are
the pods maybe.
The whole thing is like maybe like what like the size of like a Keurig or a Tassimo or something.
Yeah, or even the size of like a Mac, like
mm-hmm.
a 13-inch
computer.
Yeah, but it was cool because when I saw it, I was like, I feel like we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
So. It was interesting.
Do you know how much stuff do you actually get out of growing with that like small of a space?
I don't know, but like there was only one leaf per pod.
I think
hard to say.
Yeah, like I think you get like a little plant, probably like a little bit bigger than your fist kind of thing, maybe twice that size. Okay, basically, that's like but I know there's some you can sign up for where like it's like a subscription box almost. So like every month or two, they'll send you like new pods to like with seeds in them.
And just like test it out.
So yeah, you can grow, see if like maybe 1 month you want to grow basil and then 1 month
that's pretty
you
cool.
want to do something different. Mm-hmm. So once it like the plant is done basically. Or you can also like take them out too and like put them in a little cup of water mm-hmm. somewhere where there's sunlight.
Maddie, did you say you've done this before?
No, it's on my Amazon wish list.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask, because you're sort of like our like resident person who actually grows things, like gardener
yeah.
on the podcast.
I have so
many
goals.
Are you like planning to try it like this year?
Yeah, like I'd like to, as soon as school's over, I get a little money in the bank.
Yeah.
I'd like to get one.
A little gift to yourself after yeah. a long
yeah.
year.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I want to do that as well as just my traditional garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least it's something that you can still do during the winter.
Yeah, totally yeah. true. Yeah, it's like some of the only stuff it seems yeah. like that you can do during the winter.
Pretty much here.
Microgreens, who knew?
Maddie, do you have like, have you planned your garden yet for this year? Because like I think the first day of spring is tomorrow, today
oh,
or tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got a lot of snow.
That doesn't
to,
mean that doesn't yeah. mean you should like go into your garden tomorrow.
I got a lot of snow to clear out.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Technically, it's spring.
I wanted to make more. I need more room, so I think I'm going to do, like, a little addition right beside the garden for mm-hmm. more garden space.
Like, you're just going to dig up your yard?
Like, I would, yeah, I'd love yeah. to just expand. But it's actually on the side of my house, so all I have to do, I think, is get, like, you know, like, the little, the wood box part.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And then yeah. I'll just put dirt in it.
Right, yeah.
Get all my problems solved.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, I haven't planned anything out specifically yet, but I know I have to start. I'm going to be more strategic with it this year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be putting the pumpkins center
yeah,
back.
You're not going to be, like, overrun with pumpkins.
I'm not even going to do pumpkins, so.
Yeah. No, probably, I imagine it'll take you, like, a few years to get back to pumpkins.
Yeah, for sure.
But you could make so much money off pumpkins selling to those people at your garage sales.
No.
Now you know how to charge properly.
I know all about
demand.
It now.
In demand. Yeah.
Maddie, I actually saw something else local food in the news related that made me kind of think of you.
Okay.
So this week I saw, or it's not this week, but a couple of days ago I saw on Twitter, Manitoba Agriculture posted some growing opportunities with local food.
Yeah.
And one of them is that they're having a workshop, and it says if you have an idea for a food product and want to test it, like test market it at a local farmer's market, then this one-day workshop is for you.
No
so I was
way.
Like, oh, I should tell Maddie about this. Like, start selling those pumpkins or something.
Oh, yeah, garage sale pumpkins.
Yeah, well, no, it's one step up from garage sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're into the farmer's market.
You're making it to the big
fields. That's the big
leagues.
Yeah,
that's the most fast to say. Big fields, what?
So it covers, like, some of the, like, drier stuff. Like, it's about, like, food safety regulations for farmer's markets, why consumers want local food, and how to target your marketing story to them. And also, like, how to set your prices so you're actually making money.
Oh, there we go. That's the class that I really need.
That's not CRECOM.
Also, some tips on running a successful farmer's market. So I guess if you, like, wanted to start your own.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
and
I'm
then
sure,
also,
like, so many people don't know where to start with that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it seems like a really huge, like, daunting task.
Yeah. Because,
like, all these farmer's markets have been going forever. And, like, there's so many people working on them now.
And they're so tight-knit, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, the same vendors are at so many different,
and they've,
like,
been
locations.
There forever.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it also just says, like, there's more, like, available resources and services for people who are interested in doing that.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, if that's you,
yeah.
It's on Thursday, April 12th.
Well, there we go.
Which is my birthday.
Wow.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. But it's also in Neepawa, Manitoba.
Oh,
so you're going to have to.
Bit of a commute.
Yeah.
But, like, worth
down
it
there.
For the pumpkins.
Yeah.
Just for the pumpkins.
Speaking of food in the nudes,
what?
The
what?
First Saturday of
Wait,
May.
Wait, did you say news or nudes?
I said nudes.
Nudes.
Food in the nudes.
Okay, do tell.
Okay. So the first week, the first Saturday, is it Saturday?
Yeah.
The first Saturday of May is, what is it, Nude Gardening Day?
World Naked Gardening Day.
Wow.
It's a celebration.
Of what?
An annual international event celebrated on the first Saturday of May by gardeners and non-gardeners alike that celebrates weeding, planting flowers, and trimming hedges in the buff.
The more you know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, what do people do? You just, like, are there events, or do you just, like, like garden naked, like, in your yard, and that's it?
I don't know.
Is it legal? Can you be in your own yard and be completely nude?
Oh, that's, yeah, because what if, like, someone, anyone could just walk by?
Because I don't have any fences on my yard.
Are you going to be participating in
it? You never know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I randomly saw it on Instagram, and I was like, this is a thing. This is an actual thing.
Uh-huh. It would be a good way to, like, even out the tan, you know?
I even feel like Instagram maybe is not even the best platform to promote that event, because, like, you can't really post that many pictures from it.
Yeah, that's true.
You're right. Instagram is very quick to take pictures down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, like, describe it on Twitter?
I don't even know.
An 84-year-old Anne is here.
I'm trying to see, like, how long it's been celebrated for. Inaugurated.
So it's the first year?
On September 10th, 2005.
Oh, wow. That's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of videos on YouTube. Not that I've watched them. It's just all there.
You just happen to know about them?
No. Nope. I wonder how, like, awkward that'd be, though.
Well, it depends if there's an event where you all gather together. Or
at a greenhouse?
At a greenhouse, yeah, I don't know.
It's so together. Weird.
Or you just do it in your own yard.
They felt like it should be an event. Like, I don't know, I'm just thinking about, like, bees and stuff. And, like,
the troubles of garden. Like,
yeah, and just all the dirt. It just seems kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
Organized by Body Freedom Collaborative. I don't know what that is.
Hold on. That makes sense.
Yeah, it would be some nudists.
And then I guess gardening was their little niche to create a day.
Cool. I guess, yeah.
Whatever.
So, if you're into that stuff, World Naked Gardening Day, it's whatever the first Saturday of May is this year. Participate.
Might be a little chilly.
Anything can happen.
That is local food in the nudes.
Kaylin, did you have another piece of news?
I think I did. Yeah. I was on, I think I saw it on Twitter the other day. And it's not really, like, really recent news, but I saw that in September, so a couple months ago, there was a study, or a poll, actually, across Canada, asking people if they would support a national school food program. So, like, have you guys had programs like that at, like, your middle or high schools where they, like, at lunch there's, like, a room where you can go and get, like, granola bars or, like, bananas and stuff like that? Did you guys ever have that?
No.
I didn't have that either.
Really? I remember at my high school, like, I don't think it was there the whole time I was there, but there was a couple of years where they started doing that. But anyway, so this study was looking into making it so every school across Canada would have that, and it found that...
Like a little canteen?
Well, not like a little canteen, like just if someone, like...
Forgot their lunch or something?
Yeah, yeah, anything like that.
Okay,
They would just have, like, healthy... free food for students. Anyway, so the poll found that 7 out of 10 Manitobans support a national school food program. Oh, and it also explains here what that means. So, like, that would make sure all primary and secondary students have access to healthy meals at no cost while they're at school.
That would be so helpful.
Yeah, I think so. Because, like, even if you just, yeah, like you said, like, even if you just forget your lunch one day.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes I forget to eat during the day if I'm just, like, really busy and I just, like, can't concentrate.
Do we have that program in Manitoba, or, like, do you know?
It looks like we don't have it right now.
I feel like it'd be really beneficial for, like, elementary schools in, like, inner cities. Because when I used to volunteer for Boys and Girls Club of Manitoba, I would do an after-school programming. And then, like, when we were taught for our training was that we'd have to prepare meals for the kids after school. Because I was at an inner city. I was at one of the inner city schools, and they would say how, like, some of these kids don't bring lunches and come home to, like, nothing ready for them to eat. So they go throughout the whole day without food. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this would be such a, like, a beneficial thing for them to have. So, like, one, they can concentrate. Two, they're, like, fully, like, they have food in their system.
Mm-hmm.
Even in university or college. Sometimes they don't want to go to the Merc and buy a cup of soup or a hot dog or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus I just talked to them recently. And asking, like, hey, do you have any fresh fruit or anything? Because they used to have that fridge there. And they said, yeah, our fridge broke and we just never bothered to fix it, I guess. So, like, they don't have, like, they used to have, like, apples and some other fresh fruit. But Not anymore.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that because I, like, sometimes they have these, like, little salads and stuff there, and I don't usually go there, but I went, like, a week or two ago, and the fridge, yeah, it was, like, not only was there nothing in it, but there was this big, like, thing pulled down in front of it.
And I was, yeah.
Like a curtain? Like a
little curtain, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what happened? I didn't actually ask that.
It's broken. I can't remember what their reasoning was, like, it wasn't, people didn't buy much from there anyways or something, or I can't remember what they said, but it was something like that.
Huh. So it was just not worth it for them to fix the fridge for the year, I guess.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, though, like, if they did sell local food or, like, healthier food, like, how many more people would buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there is another restaurant on our campus that I go to way too often. And I don't even like their food.
Yeah, I don't think I could eat it, like, all the time anymore.
No. Yeah,
I
no.
Even at, like, outside of school, I'm just like, no, I cannot.
Yeah.
What restaurant is that, Kaylin? Call them out.
Called Tim Hortons.
Oh, I've heard of that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think those are beneficial programs for schools to have. So I agree.
Mm-hmm. And I was actually, like, flipping through, like, some of the stats they included in this article while we were talking, and it says that a recent report from UNICEF ranked Canada 37th out of 41 countries in access to nutritious food for children.
Which
is crazy, yeah. Because we always think of Canada, or at least I do, and I know a lot of people who think of Canada as, like, one of the top, kind of thing.
Does it say who's the top in?
I'm going to click on it and see if there is a quick breakdown.
There's not. It's okay. We will get back to you.
I don't see it right now. But I will let you know if I see it.
Or 37th out of 41?
37th out of 41, yeah.
Hmm.
And it also said that 1 in 9 Canadian children under the age of 15 live in a food insecure household.
Wow.
Which basically just means that they don't have reliable access to healthy food every day.
That's, like, really sad.
Yeah, it is. So I feel like it's having a school lunch program like that would be expensive. Like, it says it would cost probably about $1 billion to implement it nationally,
but think of, like, the benefits you have.
Exactly. And also think about, like, the other things that
think,
like,
about the children
of dollars. Yeah, I mean, I hate to use that.
Yeah
but true. Yeah, that's actually what it is this time.
Gotta tug on those heartstrings.
yeah so other local food in the news.
I have a piece of news.
Do you?
And it's very interesting because on April 13th, we are having a magazine fair at Red River College.
Woo!
And Homegrown Magazine, the magazine that accompanies this podcast, is going to be one of the tables set up. There are other groups, the people in our classes who also have made magazines and podcasts, and they're going to be set up in the main area of the atrium at Red River College. This is 160 Princess Street, the Exchange District.
Yeah.
And there's about 2,000 students at this campus. And
apparently a lot of family members come out.
A lot of family members will be coming out.
So more than
a lot of people featured in our articles will probably show up. And this, it's set up in the main atrium of the college, so
you
can't miss it.
Yeah. Even if you don't like local produce or whatever, like, there's so many different kinds of magazines being discussed.
Let's name a couple. We got a tech magazine, What the Tech.
We got a soup magazine.
Women
in Trades.
Women in Trades.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's a movie one.
There's, what is it?
Oh, there's an adventure magazine.
Yeah, Manitoba Adventures kind of thing. Outdoors.
Also, is that the one you were thinking of? There's going to be dogs.
Dogs?
Who's bringing dogs?
I hear that people will be bringing some dogs.
Really? Interesting. I heard there might be some animals, but yeah,
there
no
might
spoilers.
Be
some little cute ones.
Yeah.
So each table is in charge of bringing some or making it engaging, and ours is going to be very engaging. It's going to be impossible to miss among the crowd. So if you're listening to this and you want your product shown at this table, then shoot us a message on social media, because we would love to make that happen. We are going to have some contests of maybe asking people some trivia questions, and there'll be some prizes if they can answer correctly. And we're looking to get some local food in front of or to award these people who can answer the local food trivia questions.
Yeah,
it's going to be a fun day.
And also, if you're, like, listening and you're thinking of maybe coming down to the magazine fair and there's some things that you'd like to see, at our booth, like, also send us a message on social media.
The trade fair is from 12 to 4?
12 to 4, noon to 4, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are at HomegrownMB.
Yes.
On Twitter and on Instagram.
Yes.
Yes.
And what's on Facebook?
And on Facebook, our page is Homegrown, a local food magazine.
Yeah.
Homegrown, a local food magazine.
Right. Yeah. Gotta get that colon in there.
Nothing like a
And if you haven't
colon.
Followed us yet, follow us on our social media accounts.
Mm-hmm. We're actually doing pretty good for that, hey?
Yeah. Over 100 followers in a week. Pretty exciting stuff.
It is actually exciting. I was pleasantly surprised at that.
You feel like you don't want to get like too excited about it, but you're like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
Everybody's supporting us. So come to our trade fair. You don't want to miss it. It's also the last one for CRECOM.
Ever.
That's true. Ever. Yeah. So, I mean, check us out.
Yeah. Also, if there are like, I have no idea like who listens to this podcast, but yeah, maybe if you're like listening and you are like a CRECOM grad, because I feel like there's like an endless amount of CRECOM grads.
Apparently the CRECOM mafia is
They're everywhere. So yeah, it's the last magazine trade fair.
Yeah.
So if you want to come down and see the best booth, which is going to be Homegrown.
Homegrown.
Yeah, we'll be there with probably some free stuff.
That is some good local food in the news.
And maybe some animals.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Not just dogs.
We don't want to spoil the surprise, but there might be some
check us
extremely
out.
Adorable animals.
Suspense.
Okay, I think it's time for Manitoba on the Menu.
One thing that really got the Homegrown magazine team wondering is, how often do customers ask if their food is local? On March 24th, I visited Promenade Cafe and Wine to speak to Chef Andre about their local food initiative and the kinds of questions customers ask.
Do customers typically ask which ingredients are sourced locally? Like, are you aware of that?
Yeah, they do. They'll... Customers now care where their food comes more and more.
Yes.
So we will get questions where your lamb comes from, where your pork comes from. Mainly meats in particular. They want to know where they come from. Still veggies as well. But yeah, a lot of the veggies by definition are local because they can't travel well. And of course, with peak of the market being local and Manitoba having such great farmland. So yeah, certainly more and more we get asked.
That's awesome.
So customers will say, like, for example, like the trout, where do you get this from? Is it, because there are farms out in BC as well.
Yeah.
That farm it, that have been, you know, a lot more established, but we do use the Water Song locally. And it is very, very nice, high quality and fatty trout.
Yeah.
Certainly the eggs are becoming more and more popular as well.
Yeah.
Our bacon's Winnipeg Old Country as well. You know, great local producer that's been here forever. But
is there a typical age range that asks more often than most?
Like 25 to 45.
So like the mid-millennials.
Yeah, exactly.
Individuals.
Certainly millennials, and now, yeah, the middle-aged are getting more into it as well.
Yeah.
It seems that millennials are often the most curious about the ingredients in their food. As we see more and more restaurants in Winnipeg aiming to use local ingredients, it's safe to say people will continue to ask questions at these restaurants. So, what do you guys think? Like, is it snobby, or like, do you think it's annoying when people ask like if food is local at restaurants?
You know, I have a friend who's a waitress, and she says that like she gets irritated by it.
Oh, really?
Like, people are always asking,
is it local?
Like, what angers her? Like, do you think that people are questioning? Like, they don't really believe that it's local?
This is really local.
It's just like the, the suspicion and the, like, they kind of just, I guess the way they ask it maybe is slightly demanding or something.
To me, it seems like a little pretentious.
Yeah, I think that's the way she's taking it.
Yeah, because it's just like, I only, you know, go to establishments where I eat local food.
Yeah, this restaurant does serve local food too, so it's an appropriate place to ask. But
it almost seems like, it's like misconceived that if you're asking about whether your food is local, you are now pretentious. Like, I feel like that's not right, but I feel like it would come off that way, especially.
And you're like, really?
Yeah. And I think that, like, some people treat it as, like, trends. So they're like, do you really, like, care? Like, what is your definition then of local?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like half the time, the servers may not know. There's this video I was watching. It was on BuzzFeed. It was talking about like waiters and like their confessions. So like when people ask like, is this gluten-free or is this local? And sometimes they'll just be like, yeah. And they're like, oh, I have no idea. I'm like, really? Oh my gosh, it's so bad. Like what if someone is allergic to like gluten and stuff?
I don't think you should lie about gluten.
And I was like, what is wrong with you? But then she was like, the girl was like saying like, sometimes they just keep asking and like it gets so annoying. And I was like, I mean, like, you don't want to lie. But,
keep
like,
asking, what's the chicken's name when it was growing up? Of course, like this is part of the reason people think it's annoying is kind of perpetuated by Portlandia with the skit of the guy.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to ask you just one more time, and it's local.
It is. Is that USDA organic or Oregon organic or Portland organic?
It's just all across the board organic.
Always asking, is it local? And they go to the actual farm.
She like brings out a whole profile for the chicken.
Yeah.
Here is the chicken you'll be enjoying tonight.
You have this information. This is fantastic.
Absolutely. His name was Colin. Here are his papers, okay?
That's great.
I think it's just, that if some people feel like it's pretentious, but, like, really, like, I think you have every right to know, like, where it's coming from. You want to know where your food's coming from.
I think if even the restaurant advocates for, like, oh, yeah, we serve, like, local food, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Like, you should be willing to, like, answer that, at least.
Yeah, and, like,
the questions.
A lot of people will be, like, vegetarians or, like, flexitarians. Like, maybe their reasons for being a vegetarian is environmental reasons. So, like, they're only going to eat that meat if it was made or if it's coming from within 100 miles or...
Yeah.
What is a flexitarian?
Just, like, they're vegetarian, but they might eat meat if it's local.
Or like a free-range free chicken or something.
Yeah, grass-fed beef, those kind of things.
I tried to go along with it until you, like, tried to explain.
I was going
to
wait to see if it came up. Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I feel like it can get annoying, though.
Possibly, if you're, like, hearing it all the time.
Do you think it's evident in, like, Manitoba?
What do you mean?
Like, do you think a lot of Manitobans ask that question? Like, the hipsters and...
What do you mean? Who do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just like, do you think it's like an often like question that's being often
people ask it a lot?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of restaurants like in Winnipeg that do have local like advertise the fact that they have local food.
Yeah.
That's like a part of their like branding and their
Their promotions and
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
So they don't have to ask. Like, it's already here. You already know.
It's like on the menu or it's on their website or whatever. Yeah.
Or it'll say like in the description like local chicken from or like chicken from the local farm or something like in the item on the menu.
Yeah.
And then I guess we were talking about this another day. It was like there's kind of the definition, like what is local or what does it mean to be fully local? Like is it 100% local? Like we can't get salt really from Manitoba as far as I know. So like there's things that maybe it's like 85% local or so maybe you kind of want to know how much of it is actually local, or maybe it's a vinegar guy. He's selling some vinegar, and apparently the peppers that he's using to spice these things are not actually local, but it's being sold at a farmer's market. Then, you know, you gotta ask those questions.
Gotta get to the truth.
Uh-huh.
That happened, by the way.
Listen to our podcast to find out.
Listen to episode one.
Did we talk about that in episode one?
I think
one?
We talked about it in episode one, and then we came back to it, I think, in episode two.
Okay. Yeah.
We answered the question.
Luke's like long-standing beef with this vinegar.
You're those annoying customers. Like, is it local?
Yeah, no, that was me. That literally was me. I was asking.
I feel like I'd be shy to ask because I'd be like, why am I doubting them?
But yeah, like it does make you seem kind of. I guess like in that moment, I kind of felt like I was an annoying person, but I had.
I think
every
you're
right
just genuinely curious.
Yeah, and like, and then he explained to me about how it was. Like, it was made here.
Yeah.
So it's Manitoba made, which counts as local food. And the same goes for, like, a guy who had banana chips that were, like, dehydrated because he made them here. So they're Manitoba made, and they are local food, even if the bananas weren't grown in Manitoba.
Manitoba made.
Yeah.
Not grown.
Were there other things like that other than, like, the vinegar and the bananas?
Now we're in view.
I'm sure there was.
Luke setting up like a farmer's market sting.
Exposing them all. But still support them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember exactly everything. But
Just the vinegar guy.
That was one that, that was the one that I interrogated, but yeah.
Did he seem like annoyed by you asking?
Or like thrown off? Like what? For real?
Because you said that in that moment you were like, I'm being an annoying person. But did you feel like he was annoyed?
Not really. Maybe a tinge of annoyance. Like,
because he's like, he's wondering why you're questioning him, or like,
yeah, like why you're so asking. Skeptical.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I don't think, overall, I don't think he was that.
Yeah, you're still on good terms.
Yeah.
Still friends.
If I saw him, we'd be buddies.
Yeah. All right, sweet. Maybe we should invite him down to the trade fair.
Yeah, no
magazine
kidding.
Magazine launch.
Yeah. And get a bunch of people to come up and ask him.
Yeah.
Wait, is this local?
Yes, it is.
Plant the people.
My favorite thing on that, like, Portlandia skit you guys were talking about is, like, they're like, both interrogating, like, taking turns interrogating the waitress at the start.
Yeah.
And, like, Carrie Brownstein said something, and Fred Armisen is like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have the exact same question.
Yes.
Exactly
what
I
was saying.
How big is the area where the chickens are able to roam free?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I have exactly the same question.
4 acres.
And one more time, yeah. I'm going to ask, is the chicken local?
Yeah.
My favorite's like, actually, can you hold our table? We'll be right back. Yeah. And then they leave and then go to the farm to meet the chicken.
A leaky farm.
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens in real life. Probably not.
Yeah, that show's documentary, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I bet in Portland, like, that kind of thing, they're probably, it's pretty hyperbolic, but I bet it does happen a lot.
I've never been to Portland.
I want to go, but I've never been.
But their whole thing is, like, keep Portland weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like possibly there's a bit of weird stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there, not last summer, but the summer before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird place. You see a lot of people around with, like, mohawks and, like, weird hairstyles. And yeah. Like, But it's, Portland's cool.
Did you go to that, like, donut place that everyone is obsessed with?
Yeah.
Voodoo Donuts? Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it on Instagram. I haven't been.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely did. It's such a cool, yeah, no, it lived up to the hype. Those donuts were amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do they compare to, like, because we have, like, some, like, local donut shops in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, donuts were a big deal there for some
like
reason.
Like, those, like, gourmet kind of donuts.
Yeah, it was, like, there was that one, and there was another donut shop in Portland that was also really well-known.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried both of them, and Voodoo Donuts was superior. Like, there was a huge lineup outside. Like, it's a very touristy place.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, completely lived up to it. It's just, like, I guess it's, like, cake donuts.
Okay.
They were so good. Then again, I had O Donuts since then.
Right.
And O Donuts was also very, very good.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Like, even just the dough. Like, I would just eat the donuts by themselves.
I'm not a huge fan of donuts.
At all?
Have you had O Donuts?
I have.
I went there on the weekend because I was, like, I was taking pictures and stuff around there, like, at the legislative building. And I was like, oh, I need to go here. I haven't been there in so long. And they had a bunch of, like, St. Patrick's Day ones because it was on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they had one that had, there was one that was just, like, green kind of, but they had one that had, like, Lucky Charms.
Oh.
Like, the marshmallows on it. I thought about it. I didn't get it, though.
Ugh, what did you get?
I got, what did I get? Oh, my God. My sister got, I went with my sister. She got, like, the Guinness, like, chocolate glaze with brownie.
Oh my God.
Pieces on it. And I feel like that's kind of St. Patrick's Day too, like Guinness.
Yes. Yeah.
I know they usually have that, but they sometimes do it with like a local beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got, oh my God, I can't even, oh, I got a blood orange glaze one.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like super sweet. It had the glaze on it, and then it had like a little slice of, like a candied slice of blood orange.
Yeah.
On top. Wow. It was really good, but like so sweet.
Mm. See, those sound really intriguing, but like, I don't know. I just don't, I'm not a huge fan of donuts.
I mean, yeah, I have nothing to say to that.
Yeah.
I have silence, crickets.
I do find that, like, I don't like the ones with filling as much.
No, like, Boston creams are the best.
Okay, no, they taste good, for sure. But, like, especially the ones from O Donuts where, like, the filling is so, like, rich.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I can't eat for, like, a week after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So usually I don't get those ones.
Hmm.
They have these, like, glazed ones, though, like, I think it's like a lemon lavender glaze.
Okay.
It's so good. It's like barely anything on it, but like just a like a little hint of like
just enough for like, you to like,
yeah, tiny bit of lemon, and like lavender is a pretty like faint,
yeah,
flavor scent kind of thing. But yeah, those donuts are awesome.
So last time I was at O'Donuts, mm-hmm. I got I saw this Chicago mixed donut.
Oh, and it's so, like popcorn on it, right?
So it's popcorn on it, and it's like, so I think it was caramel.
It's like caramel and like cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what like Chicago mixed popcorn
yeah.
is, right?
Yeah.
So it had like the caramel like covering glaze.
Yeah.
And then it had like cheddar popcorn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was just with some friends, and I'm like, that would be a funny thing to get. I'm going to get this. Not really expecting that it would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And like, seriously, like one of the best donuts I've had.
Really?
I feel like I'm just praising all donuts, but there are some bad donuts out there, you know? Like, Tim's, one? Robin's, they're okay.
That's
know?
True.
I yeah, think it's because I've just had so many Tim's donuts, like, when I was a child, because, like, for birthday parties, like, my classmates would bring donuts for their birthdays.
Oh.
And I'm just like, oh, I'm so sick.
Too
of
much
that.
Of a good
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just going to make a statement here. Oh. Timbits are overrated.
You know what?
I agree.
Think I found that they are, I think they're rated fairly. I don't know anyone who like, loves.
Fairly.
I don't know anyone who loves Timbits, and I don't know anyone
I agree.
Who hates them. They're
I
just,
think they are rated yeah. fairly.
they're like, they're just a really agreeable kind of snack. It's like okay. nothing amazing.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I like Timbits.
I can eat
yeah.
like, a, love like one Timbit. I'm like, that's my, that's like, that satisfies my donut craving for like
yeah.
a I month and a half.
It's just like, oh, wow. It's a cake pop without the stick.
That's true.
Oh, you're right.
Mind blown.
Except, well, aren't cake pops like more like rich? And
they usually have like some kind of icing like around the end.
Who's cake pops?
Maddie, you're going to put the cake pop business out of business.
Just take a stick, take your Timbit, mm-hmm. cake pops.
I don't really like cake pops.
I don't really either, like cake pops either, so that's why I probably don't like Timbits.
Probably.
I think my go-to is just ice cream in terms of like sweet and dessert stuff. Just ice cream. So good.
Do you have, like, a favorite ice cream? Like, a go-to?
I like flavor.
Mm.
I like mint chocolate chip.
It's a solid mm-hmm. flavor.
Cookie
yeah.
dough.
Mm, that's a good one, too.
Do you mean, like, cookie dough ice cream or just straight up, like, eating?
just the roll.
Like, just crack open those, like, Pillsbury
yeah.
rolls.
I mean both, but.
What are your favorites?
For ice cream?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really eat ice cream that much.
I'm a little shocked about that.
Well, I mean, I do. It's not like I have anything against ice cream, but it's not, like, my go-to.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite, Luke?
My favorite food?
Ice cream. Like,
my favorite ice cream?
Do you like ice cream?
Pardon me. I do like ice cream. My family has, like, a history with ice cream. They just, like, my mom's side of the family.
What?
Just, like,
you have such interesting stories.
I feel like that was just a weird way to say that. I
don't know. I have a long history about ice
no,
cream.
No, they just...
We have some beef.
Well, I think, no, it's a good thing, though. I think they were kind of... like the Mennonites were kind of persecuted. They were persecuted in Russia. And my family was pretty poor, like great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents. And then they... so my grandparents, they like... them and my grandparents and their cousins, they talk about how like when they were kids and they were like just given like every, I think it was like once a week or something, they would get ice cream and it was like a huge treat, and they just developed this like obsession for ice cream now. So like their family reunions where like we go to Indiana and like they have because they're American and they just like they're always joking about ice cream and like we have a lot of ice cream that week and
that's so
interesting. Like my mom is still like really into ice cream because she's kind of passed it down the generation.
Yeah.
So yeah. As for my favorite,
so what's your favorite?
I like Moose Tracks.
Okay,
what's Moose Tracks? I mean, I've heard of it. I just don't know specifically what's in it.
You know, I couldn't tell you. It's chocolate and some random things in there that I eat. And it's great.
Is it like other chocolate or is it like peanut butter or?
I think it's some sort of nuts.
Okay.
It's been a while actually.
I think it's chocolate covered almonds.
Chocolate covered almonds?
Okay. I think so.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It sounds like such a Canadian flavor.
Yeah.
Moose tracks.
In the name.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Maddie, what were you saying?
Oh, speaking of local ice cream, has anyone been to Chaibon?
Yes.
No, I haven't been.
So good.
Was it?
What did you get?
You know how you get, like, those four scoops of different flavors?
Yeah, the flights.
Yeah, so I got mojito mint patty. I don't know the exact names because their names are really like really different, but they're so cool. Mm-hmm. I got the mojito mint patty one.
Nice.
I think a caramel one, a Manitoba berry one, the red velvet one. Actually, I've tried a lot of them. Whoa, my gosh.
You guys are getting too excited about the ice cream. Stop touching the microphones.
I've tried like the various different ones, but the one I like the most is the mojito mint patty. So it's like there's actual mint leaves inside.
Whoa, okay.
And like slices of, or like shavings of chocolate chips with the vanilla ice cream.
That's really awesome. Good.
Yeah. They're all such rich in taste. So
I wonder if they use like local ingredients for that. Like, because O'Donuts, like we were just talking about, uses mostly organic and local and fair trade ingredients for their donuts.
So. I read that they use like locally grown beets for their beet flavored ice cream.
Really?
So, yeah. So I'm assuming they'll probably use some other ingredients that are local because they have like the Manitoba berry flavor.
I wonder you didn't try the beet ice cream, Gina?
I don't think so.
I wonder what that would taste like.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever really like had beets.
I can't imagine.
Like, I don't know what they taste like.
Eating beets in the form of ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, they say we will source local ingredients for our flavors whenever possible.
Oh, so, awesome. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, it's called Salty Carl. It's salted caramel. Yeah, the names are so cool. Like Anna Bananatella.
Okay.
I can't even say it. Salty Carl. Mustang Sally. Prairie Berry.
Salty Carl reminds me of, what was that thing on one of the other podcast episodes that like those weird bananas were called, Maddie?
Oh, I don't remember the name.
Like Gross Michael or something.
Yes, Gross Michael. The banana.
Yeah, so the names are so cool. Oh, there's 25% beets per scoop of ice cream.
That's a lot. Sounds like it's pretty healthy.
And sour cream and ricotta and
cream. You can't beat that. Wow.
Okay, yeah, cool. I kind of want to try that because I have no idea what it would take. No, I'm not.
No. You know, I feel like all the restaurants, or like a lot of the restaurants at least, that are popping up recently have like a local food element to that. I mean, because of this movement that's been going on. Like, I'm just thinking about, Chebon has opened up recently, and then there's like the Fromageries that opened up.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
because there's one that. Did you go? Did you say?
No, I said I haven't been there.
Okay. There's the one on Cordon that opened up. Cheesemongers, I want to say it's called.
Sounds familiar.
That was one I saw it on Instagram and wanted to go, but I haven't made it out yet.
Yeah. And then now Bothwell Cheese, they are opening a retail place.
Did someone tweet this?
I don't know.
I feel like it's Kenton.
I feel like someone somewhere.
I think it was
Kenton.
Oh, really?
I think he tweeted about the other one.
I thought you said the cheesemongers.
Oh, Cordon. Yeah.
Probably.
But this one is showing up on the other side of Provence and St. Boniface. They're just having a ton of cheese there because they're just going to. Apparently, there's a market for that now. Just two fromageries opening up soon.
Yeah.
And then they're also going to bring in a ton of other Manitoba-made products to sell at this place.
I wonder if it's going to be, because I feel like if you sell cheese and like have that kind of like audience, they might also sell like those other kind of like charcuterie things like that you would have on like a tray.
Yeah.
Huh.
So like there's this one person who I was reading a Reddit thread where people were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was saying, this could change the poutine game in Winnipeg.
Oh, that's
because
true.
Yes.
The cheese curds, apparently, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but
no.
And I had never heard about this until I read this. But cheese
curds. Are you
going
to tell us like a Reddit like cheese conspiracy theory?
No. It's just like a cheese. Apparently, if you're into cheese, you'd know, but it's like apparently they lose, like cheese curds will lose their squeak after a day approximately.
Okay.
So like a lot of the poutine that's made in the city already, like the cheese curds are not, they're squeaky. More than a day old.
Yeah.
So, like, you're not going to have the squeaky cheese curds anymore.
Yeah.
But if Bothwell can get those cheese curds shipped, because they're not going to be making the curds, the cheese, in the retail store.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can bring it to St. Boniface in the same day, this is from, like, near Niverville, then, like, and they're selling their poutine or, like, those cheese curds, and it's still squeaky.
Oh, yeah,
the squeakiest poutines.
Yeah, like if they did deliveries like in the mornings to places. Yeah,
then like it still has its squeak, and which is apparently the best kind of curds.
Wow. Interesting.
And that's amazing. Could
revolutionize the
Winnipeg poutine game.
I was honestly so captivated the entire time you said that.
I was think too.
My face was like in a constant shock expression.
I was like, squeak.
Maddie's jaw like dropped at the start, and like she did not close her mouth till you
were done. My mouth is so dry right now.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe they won't be able to ship it in one day, and then
maybe
yeah.
Oh, just disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, it's cool that they're opening that, and they have like a bunch of bad puns on their door right now.
Yes.
Like has
anyone gone past?
No.
Okay, like if you just go down Saint Spervanche,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It's like they're bad. Like I'm glad I can't remember though.
Uh huh.
And when I called them, it was like, have a good day.
Oh. Like, no, oh no, they didn't. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was their message machine, by the way.
Oh, I thought you meant like an actual like no. human being said that to you.
Picture them like doing that like arm swing. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. You have to, yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. And then when they hang up, they're just so upset with them. They're like,
no, it was like, sorry, we can't get to the phone right now. And then it was like, have a good day. And I'm like, you really had to throw that in there? Like, sounds like you're laughing at me. I couldn't get through to you.
That's interesting, though. I didn't know that about the squeaking. I mean, I knew they were supposed to, because like when you buy, like sometimes schools do like Bothwell fundraisers, so I've like gotten things from there.
The squeakers.
Yeah, and they say that they say squeakers on them, but like they're not squeaky. So I was like, maybe I'm misunderstanding what this
if
is supposed to
be. If you microwave them, they like squeak a little bit.
Like I've heard in that. The microwave or after yeah. you microwave them.
After.
No,
like,
after.
Okay.
They retain their squeak for a tiny bit after you
interesting.
Microwave
them. Interesting. Yeah. How long do you have to microwave them for?
Not very long, because then they melt.
Right.
But, like, just so that they, like, get a little gooey, and they'll, like, really squeak.
Huh. Yeah.
If you ever just, like, want to feel like your food is crying while you eat it.
That's what I thought you meant, like, while they were in the microwave, they're just, like, screaming.
No, just between your teeth.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Now I, like, want this to happen.
Yeah.
I want to have some, like, squeaky poutine.
I want the freshest squeaking cheese.
Yeah. That sounded like it was a really bad substitute for, like, swearing.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay, I have another question for you guys. Should students be expected to pay for local food to help, like, say, the local economy, all the other reasons, even though it's more expensive? That's both local and organic food.
Mm-hmm.
I say yes, but I think...
They should be? They should pay for it?
I feel like they should pay, but, like, I feel like there should be, like, a student discount kind of thing.
Ah.
Or, like, a little, not like a partnership, but, like, a little deal going on, mm-hmm. you know, like... I want to support you, but these are, like, I'm clearly financially not stable to, like, pay, I don't know how many, are organic things priced at, or, like, local things priced at.
Yeah.
Because you want to help the local vendors, too. Like, they're just trying to sell their stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah, I always appreciate, like, a good student discount.
Right?
Even, like, an okay student discount.
Yeah, and they're going to keep going back to it, because, like, I got a discount there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What about you?
I don't know. See, like, I find that, like, why should students have to pay for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have a big argument for
it. I kind of think that, like, if it's something that's important to you, whether you're, like, a student or you have a job or, like, however old you are or whatever, you should, like, try to support that within your means.
Yeah.
So, like, that obviously would look different for everyone depending
exactly,
on income.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think that, like, just because you're a student that you shouldn't worry about it because of that. Like, if it's something that's important to you, it's important to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I feel like if you continue in that habit, like, you mean, like, oh, it's not, if you go, you're done school, you're like, oh, it's not free anymore.
Yeah.
You
like
stop supporting that.
Yeah. What about, like, people who are on welfare or, like, someone has a family and they're supporting them, but they don't have enough money they barely have enough money for food in general, and then the organic food would just push them over the edge?
That's a tough.
Well, I mean, I don't really think it's a tough question. Like, you make choices based on where you are.
Yeah.
So, like, that wouldn't
true.
Be a priority,
yeah,
you'd
be
probably.
Realistic.
And
yeah,
I think that would be unrealistic to, like, make buying organic food a priority if you're, like, struggling to put food
you
on the table.
You gotta
do
what at all. You gotta do. Like,
huh.
Yeah. But so, I do think, like, in that case, and also, like, in any case, it is more not the responsibility of, like, individual people to like make those choices as consumers. Like, it's more the responsibility of like the government. This is a bigger conversation. But yeah, I don't know how big of an impact like individuals can have as consumers, I think is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like there's some hardliner like organic food people, mm-hmm. who will, like, you know how they'll say that there's maybe carcinogens in like normal food, and they buy organic because they don't want any of those to be genetically modified or anything.
Yeah.
They say, well, cancer costs more than organic food. Uh-huh. So just, oh, wow. I don't know. That's, I thought that was pretty extreme.
That seems like a crazy thing to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I would say if someone said that to me and was like serious about it.
Yeah. See, like, me and my roommate actually kind of had this debate last year a lot. Because, mm-hmm. like, I tended to shop at No Frills, and he would go to, like, corner stores around us. Mm-hmm. And, like, because he wanted to support the local businesses.
Oh, okay.
And, like, I said, yeah, like, preferably I would do that, too, instead of buying at the chain. But, like, also, I'm a student at this point. I do need to help myself to get through, and then maybe I'll be able to support these people better in the future. Mm-hmm. That was my logic, at least.
Mm. I like that.
Was that the roommate that said the thing about carcinogens? Or is that a different person?
No, that was not a roommate.
On a much lighter note, let's do a food quiz.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so time for the food quiz.
Quick. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm super ready because the last two food quizzes, mm-hmm. I had balled out. So anyways, just wanted to remind you guys that.
Okay. Feeling competitive now?
I think it's always been
the last one.
Yeah.
Last one.
Go big or go home.
Okay. A Japanese version of which fruit is the most expensive fruit ever recorded in the world? A. Watermelon. B. Cantaloupe. C. Cherries. Or D. Starfruit.
I'm going to say cherries.
I'm going to say watermelon.
Actually, I'm going to go with my first thought, which was cherries, too.
You're all wrong. Oh, it was a cantaloupe. There's these, like, perfect fruits that grow in Japan. they grew these fancy versions of cantaloupes, and they actually sold at an auction for $23,500.
What?
That's nuts.
So basically, they're grown in these like really small crops, and they're looked after like almost 24/7 by these farmers, and they tend to them, and they like personally rotate them so they with their hands, so they get perfect sunlight and perfect shape, and they're not even really eaten; they're like given as gifts for like special occasions.
Wow.
Wow.
And they're often like hand delivered, and I think they're basically taking the idea of a fruit pretty far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, question two. I'm ready.
A single pomegranate can hold up to A, 100 seeds, B, 500 seeds, C, 75 seeds, or D, 1,000 seeds.
I'm going to say 100 seeds.
I'm going to say...
I think 100 too.
I say B.
You didn't put them in ascending order, so I was that even one of them?
The answer is... D, 1,000 seeds.
Whoa, really?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So you could probably get a monster pomegranate.
What?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking regular pomegranates like an amateur.
Yeah.
All right.
What is pomology? Is it A, the study of growing pomegranates, B, the juicing of fruits, C, a tattooed apple company, or D, the study of fruits?
B.
I'm going to say the study of fruits.
I'm going to say the tattooed apple company.
I feel like it is that one.
Oh, sorry. It is the study of fruits.
Oh, wow. Oh. I thought the tattooed one was so weird. I was like, it has to be that.
Well, the tattooed apple company actually comes from the next question.
Oh.
Or for the next question.
Okay.
It's a possible answer.
Mm-hmm. You're tricky, Maddie.
What is something that Japan does to make apples gourmet?
Oh.
Do they A, carve them? B, do they tattoo them? C, do they put a worm in them? Or D, do they paint them to look like pumpkins?
I say the last option, the pumpkins.
I'm thinking either carve or paint.
Only one option.
I'm going to go with...
I'm going to say they put a worm in them. Was that not one of the options?
It is.
I'm going to go with paint.
Well, it's actually they tattoo them, which is where I took the answer for my other question.
I almost
pretty much
that,
gave it away.
Yeah, I know. Like, no, it's too easy.
Caleb thought there would be a worm in them.
A single Japanese apple can cost as much as $150 when they put them in elaborate boxes and they have tattooed them. So basically they use a stencil while they're growing, put it on the apple's skin, and then peel it off right before, and the apple will have a tattoo, hypothetically, of whatever it was.
All right, next question.
True or false? The stickers on fruits are edible.
False. Well, I mean, what do you mean edible?
You can eat them.
And you can eat anything.
Well, that's true. But they're, it is like the FDA maybe would be approving
it. I'm going to say
true.
No.
True.
I'm going to say no.
It is true.
Oh. Yeah.
Even the glue that they use.
First one right.
They're FDA approved. So you can, it's recommended that you wash and clean your fruits and vegetables.
Uh-huh.
But you can also eat the sticker if you
forget. Good to know. I'm still going to take them off.
They do suggest you do remove them. Yeah. Like, come on.
All right. Next question.
Avocado prices have increased because of A, a guacamole trend, B, the Mexican drug cartel, C, an avocado apocalypse, or D, hurricane damage.
C, apocalypse.
I feel like D makes the most sense, but I'm going to go big or go home and say the drug cartel.
I also think it's the drug cartel because I heard that about limes.
It is the drug cartel.
No. Yeah.
So basically, avocado producers have been imposed a quota by the Mexican drug cartel, basically saying that they want in on the money because guacamole has made like avocados so popular.
Yeah.
So basically, what they'll do is like they'll find out they've got the data from the agriculture ministry of like who produces avocados in Mexico, and so they've used it to track down these farmers, and they force them to pay a percentage of their earnings or they'll kidnap them or kill them.
Intense
stuff. So that is why avocados are more expensive now.
Wow. Is that the last one?
That was the last one.
Wow.
Wow, is that a tie between me and Caitlin?
I think it might be. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's been real.
Yeah, I don't know that we have time for a tiebreaker, so I think that's it.
That's it. Well, good times on Homegrown. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah,
and we're hopefully going to see everyone at the trade fair on April 13th.
Come on up. Check out the magazine, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like and follow us on social media, because we need it for our egos.
Yes. It's really just Maddie, but
yeah, it's just me.
At Homegrown MB. Yeah.
It's been a good time.
It has been. All right. Luke, do you have anything to say?
Peace.
Oh. Oh, no. On the last one.